is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
It is Masters Week, and of course, when we think of green jackets, we also think of red shirts on Sunday and Tiger Woods. Joining us now is the author of Drive, a new book out and in bookstores. Bob Herrick joins us now. Bob, thanks for taking a few minutes for us, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And happy Masters Week to you. I know it's an exciting time for everybody that loves the sport of golf.
Yeah, it is. It's it's for a lot of people. It's, even though I'm dealing with it all the time, for a lot of people, this is kind of the real start of golf. You know, a lot of the country hasn't had good weather, and they've just sort of viewed now NCAA basketball is over, and you know, baseball's just started, and they see golf is just starting. And it usually doesn't disappoint either. So it's a great week.
You know, as we enter Masters Week and you have your new book out, Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. This is an incredible time. I can't believe it's been 5 years since Tiger last won his green jacket. But now we fast forward to this, and this could be a record-setting event for Tiger Woods. How do you feel about Tiger in that quest to make his 24th consecutive cut at Augusta National when everything has kind of been going against Tiger as his body's been fighting back against him?
Yeah, look, I think it's a great example of what I was trying to capture in that book. You know, it's not the be-all, end-all record of his career. It's not something that you set out to do necessarily. Missing cuts is part of golf. You know, it happens every week. Guys miss cuts. A lot of named players have missed a lot of cuts. But to make it every year as a pro, to this point for Tiger, despite some of the things he's been through, you know, they don't always have their game. Some years aren't good. Some weeks aren't good. And to make it every time and to try to make it here this week, especially to get that record, would just be sort of another little thing that you add to a long list of accomplishments that to me sort of points out his drive, you know, his resiliency. His mind works differently than most of ours. It's hard for us to not, rationalize things in our lives. Maybe we think we should get out and exercise today and we come up with a reason not to. You know, well, I did it yesterday. I've been good this week. Or, you know, I'm kind of tired. Tiger never did that. You know, he always kind of fought through those negative thoughts, and that's why I think he has the record that he has. It goes beyond his talent and ability.
But on that point, you kind of have a unique lens to kind of view this thing through, covering him from the beginning of his pro career until now and multiple sit-downs with him. You talk about the mentality, but what's the thing that you've seen change in him throughout his professional career? Well, while the mentality has always been there, what about his personal growth has stood out to you, whether it's through injury or off the course or conquering some demon on the course? Like, what is the kind of the prevailing thing that has stood out to you over the course of his career?
Well, I think as time went on, there was a maturity level. He softened a little bit, not so much in his resolve, but in his dealings with people. You know, he let himself be revered. He let himself be accepted and cheered. And, you know, in the early days, he never did that. You know, he had blinders on. He was, you know, the first 10 years of his career, you know, he didn't sign many autographs. He didn't look at many people in the crowd. And that evolved. You know, and he found, and I think what, especially 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when he was coming back from the surgery, the spinal fusion, you know, he allowed the fans to embrace him, and he embraced that. I think it helped him. You know, I think it fueled him in some ways. I think he appreciated the support, and their backing him meant a lot. When as before, you know, he was just sort of oblivious to it.
We're talking with Bob Herrick, who has a new book out, Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. This isn't the first book involving Tiger that you've written either. You have the book out, Tiger and Phil, as well. And you've covered him for so long, and everybody in the golf world has covered him for so long. And there was a comment that he had that when the question was asked to him yesterday, it stuck with me because I knew you were coming on today, and I wanted to ask you about this, because when he was asked why he keeps coming back to compete, he just said, "I just love golf." Have you, in this time where Tiger has been the face of golf, ever questioned whether or not he actually loved the game of golf?
Yes, absolutely. I've wondered that at times. I think he probably does now. He appreciates it more now. You know, his son plays. He sees the joy his son gets. I think he wants to be an example for him. I think that's one of the reasons Tiger wants to keep playing, you know, to be that example for him, to give him something to watch. But, you know, I think there were times, especially when things were rough, you know, when he went through the marital strife, you know, what, 14, 15 years ago now, when he went through some of the injuries, I'm not sure that he loved golf. You know, I think there might have been some times when he was at the height, you know, like the 2004, 5, 6, 7 time period. You know, he'd been playing for 10 years, eight years, always expected to win. You just wonder if, was it a job? Was it like, I'm expected to do this? I'm expected to win? It's got to get old to like, if you don't, if you finish second or third, be viewed as coming up short. You know, and you just wonder. I mean, I think someday I wonder if he'll delve into those topics, because I think it's interesting. It's an interesting question. He says, because I love golf. I mean, you have to, I think, to put yourself through some of the things he's done here over the last several years, you know, but I don't always know if he did at times at other points in his career.
Do you think at this point in time, and I know it's kind of weird to even question this, but do you think he has enough magic in that tank to do something special this weekend?
I would say that if he had been playing a little bit more, if he had played two or three events this year and had a little bit of form and was able to knock off some of the competitive rust, it's just very hard to be sharp if you haven't been playing inside the ropes. I mean, Tiger can hit a lot of balls. He can chip and putt as much as his body allows. But when you're chipping and putting at home, does it really mean anything?
Yeah.
You know, when you get out here on the first or second hole on Thursday and you miss a green and you've got this tough chip and you need to hit that thing precise, can you? I mean, you know, it's because you haven't done it that much, you know. And so that's the thing. I mean, I don't put anything by him. He said today, even he said, look, you know, if everything aligns, I think I've got one more in me. If everything aligns, okay, that means his health has to be good. That means his leg has to be okay. That means his back doesn't go out. That probably means the weather cooperates. It also means that his short game is sharp. It also probably means that he gets some breaks. You know, there's a lot of things there that have to go right. I think you got to take it one step at a time. I hate to use the cliche, but, you know, let's see how he does for a round. And then, you know, if he can have a good first round and he's feeling good, well, then maybe some confidence builds.
I hope for the drive. I hope he does win for it. Yeah, he'll send those bad boys flying off the shelves even more than they already are. But you mentioned Charlie, his son, and we see Tiger, whether it's him caddying for his kid or just, you know, proud dad walking behind him. And I think that's kind of something that, you know, people that have been fans of golf for a long time, we remember every shot of Tiger on a tee box. And in those big moments, Earl was standing, you know, behind him, or he was there waiting for him to walk off the 18th green. And we also know how hard Earl Woods was on Tiger growing up, and how that he wanted to ingrain that kind of militaristic style of to maybe help that drive. What are you seeing with the way that Tiger's handling Charlie and kind of the ways that it is similar and maybe different?
Yeah, I mean, I think he recognizes that, you know, that it's tough to be the son of a great athlete. And I think he's tried to give him, you know, a lot of space and allow him to flourish on his own. If you've seen those PNC tournaments that they played in together now a few times,
it's uncanny how the mannerisms are the same. You know, Charlie, you know, plucks the tee out of the ground the same way Tiger does. He marks his ball the same way. He sniffles his nose the same way. I mean, the swing is similar. It's really kind of neat, you know, but yeah. I think Tiger's allowing him to, you know, I don't get the sense that Tiger's pushing him at all. He's talked, you know, obviously very reverentially about his own dad and how he helped his career. But, you know, the thing I would keep reminding people of is that at this age that Charlie is, he's 14, 15 years old now, Tiger had already accomplished a lot. Mm-hmm. He was somewhat famous. Like, Tiger at this age was being recruited to colleges as a freshman in high school. I mean, it's just kind of like to think that Charlie, you know, Charlie's nowhere near that realm yet. He's a very, very good golfer, but I don't think he's not, you know, it's almost like it's even hard to talk about because I think he's got a lot of growing to do still. He's going to get bigger. And I think it's still a ways to go for him before we see and can make a judgment about where he's going.
Bob, I'm always interested in the writing process of books like this, where you're covering such a timeline. What's something that didn't make the book or the cutting room floor, or just a moment or an anecdote that from Tiger's career that stands out to you that just didn't make the book?
Yeah, you know, I thought I covered most of it. What I didn't get into a lot of was when I didn't do a deep dive on his amateur career. Mm. And certainly that's part of his story too, part of his drive. I try to make the argument in this book that his legacy is about more than just the great skill and talent and victories. You don't win as much as he has without all those things. But it also, you don't win as much as he has without having this inner fortitude to push through and get it done. I mean, how do you win a U.S. Open barely able to walk like he did in 2008? How do you make 142 straight cuts? It's just inevitable guys are going to miss cuts. I use this example all the time. As of right now, Tiger has missed 23 cuts worldwide in his career. He's been playing for 27 years as a pro, something like that. Turned pro in 1996. I think that's 27 years. Jordan Spieth, and I'm not picking on Jordan, okay? It's just the number I picked out because Jordan is a great player. He's won three majors, and he's what? He's about 18 years younger than Tiger. And he's missed 45. 45. He's Good missed gosh. Almost double the number that Tiger has missed in his entire career. I mean, how do you do that? And most of Tiger's have come in the last 10 years when he's been hurt. You know, Tiger went 7 years without missing a cut. Sometimes you just don't have it. Sometimes on Friday afternoon, you're two over the cut line, your back's bothering you, you've been on the road for a couple of weeks, you go, man, I really need to work on my game, or I'd like to see the family. Start thinking about the flights out of there. You get home, I'll work on my game at home, and you just kind of mail it in. Tiger never did that. I mean, and clearly, you know, obviously he was in contention a lot, but clearly there were weeks of it. And he grinded it out to make the cut. And he always had a great line. You can't win the tournament if you don't make the cut.
That's perfect. That is perfect. I mean, we remember, you're talking about his amateur career, and like out here, we have, like, I remember growing up, and I grew up out in Hillsborough where Pumpkin Ridge Golf Course is in 1996 when he won the U.S. Amateur. There was like this buzz around the area of, you guys need to check out this Tiger Woods kid. He's right down the road. And then nobody quite could comprehend what it would turn into from that moment on. And as you look at the world of golf right now, we've had stars come through. But whether it was you had Arnie and Jack for so long, and now you have Tiger Woods with this staying power. Do you think that there is somebody that can have the staying power that Tiger Woods, because the world of golf has gotten so much better around the PGA Tour as well, that will be a name and a face not equal to Tiger Woods, but can take that mantle?
It's a lot to ask. He's such a unique character in all of this. I mean, obviously being a minority and it was set him apart also. There was a fascination just because of that. He wasn't like everybody else. And in golf, it was rare. You know, we still don't have a lot of minority participation in golf. You know, there was a thought that he would help improve that, and he has, but probably not as much as people had hoped. So there was that aspect to it. Then there was just like the whole, you know, the way he came up, like I was saying earlier, he was famous early.
Yeah.
You know, when he was in college, people went to watch him play. He won 3 straight U.S. juniors and 3 straight U.S. amps. He came to pro game with a ton of fanfare and had already signed like $40 million worth of deals, you know, before he ever hit a shot as a pro. There was so much hype, and he exceeded it, which is incredible to think about, really. You know, most people do not exceed it. So for somebody else to do that is really asking a lot. I mean, I think somebody, you know, a guy like Rory McIlroy kind of has those qualities. And he has a great record that I think is really sort of underplayed. He's won like 23 or 24 PGA Tour events. He's won 4 majors. He's only 34. I mean, if he could sustain it and get into the 30s and PGA Tour wins and win another major or two, that's epic stuff, you know, especially in this day and age. Frankly, if anybody can get close to what Phil did, Phil Mickelson, 45 wins and 6 majors. Now that, I mean, so to think about what Tiger's done, I mean, I just don't see any chance.
No.
The other thing, the part of it is the money is so big that these guys can make so much money and be set that 4 or 5 good years, and you just wonder about their motivation. You know, how long are you going to keep it going? And so I think that just it's human nature. Again, it kind of just takes away from your, you know, from your desire. I mean, you don't need to play this game forever, you know, and as you see, windows are small. I mentioned Spieth earlier, you know, it's hard to believe, but this is going to be 9 years since he won the Masters. He won the U.S. Open the same year. He won the Open 2 years after that. He had an amazing stretch of wins in about 4 years. But since 2017, he's only won twice. You know, I mean, it's crazy that these windows can be really small. And I'm not saying he's not going to go off and win 10 more times. He might. But the bottom line is he hasn't won a lot lately.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's fleeting. Or it can be.
The book is Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. Bob Herrick is the author of it. Really appreciate the time, and it's an incredible look into Tiger Woods, the competitor and the guy that we all see. And, you know, hopefully we see one more green jacket over the top of that red polo on a Sunday afternoon. Thanks for the time, Bob. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
You too.
He is such a unique character in Tiger Woods that his dominance is, it really is. It's like
it's
unquestioned.
It's cartoonish.
It's unquestioned now,
yeah.
Even though he doesn't have the majors record. Jack still owns that record and will own that record. If we're all being honest with ourselves,
it's
like Tiger can say, yeah. I may have one more in me. You don't have three,
yeah.
You know, like and that's the thing is that it's still everybody looks around and he's talking about it with Spieth and Rory. There's so many good golfers mm-hmm. now.
And they're never going to come close.
And none of them are going to come close, but it's going to make it impossible for anybody to reach the heights that he reached.
Yeah.
He changed the game. It's incredible. Like we have these MJ and LeBron GOAT conversations. Mm-hmm. Good luck convincing. Like we'll have one person on the text line be like, ah, Jack is still the greatest.
No, he's not. It's fine. It's fine.
Isn't that okay?
It's fine.
But his dominance is something completely different than
no,
what we have in other sports.
I think we're reaching that like across a lot of different sports.
For sure.
It's because of what he talked about, the money. The motivation, just you got to be built different. Like LeBron's worth $500 million in contracts alone, but he's still there. There's plenty of other guys who've gotten paid that have been like, I'm good.
Exactly.
I'm good. So, all right, coming up next, our worst day on the web. I don't know how to say this other than this is one of the more terrifying things I've ever heard. But first, here's Big Will Betts with a Sports Center update.